From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this look at local and statewide news. When the state health department website was breached earlier this year, cyber attackers had access to the private health information of Alaskans.
It is a fair statement to say that any Alaskan could have been compromised with this.
That is Adam Crum, the commissioner of the State Department of Health and Social Services. State officials say they delayed the announcement to avoid interfering with a criminal investigation. Crum says responding to the breach required that workers rely on paperwork. He also says the health department has been focusing on both the security breach and the pandemic response.
We recognize every single day the burden this has put on our citizens, not to mention my employees.
The security breach violated state and federal privacy laws. The state does not know how many people's data was accessed. The department is urging all Alaskans who have provided data to the department to act to protect themselves from identity theft. The state is making free credit monitoring available to any Alaskan concerned about the breach. All Alaskans who've applied for permanent fund dividends will receive an email between September 27th and October 1st with a code to sign up for the credit monitoring. State officials say they used the PFD application list because most Alaskans' lives are touched by one department program or another. There's no title for the screenplay yet, but now Kune Lance Twitchell has a fellowship from the Rasmussen Foundation to realize a longtime dream, to bring a true story to life about how Native boarding schools systematically tried to kill Indigenous languages. KTOO's Rhonda McBride spoke to Twitchell about this story and why he's decided to tell it in Tlingit.
Twitchell says this dark chapter in history has recently pushed into the mainstream consciousness, but he's heard stories for years from elders like the late Marge Dutson, who once told him,
"They tried everything. They tried to beat it out of me. They tried to scare it out of me. They tried to shame it out of me, but they couldn't get my language away from me."
Dutson told Twitchell that when she spoke Tlingit on her first day of class at the Juneau Bureau of Indian Affairs School, her teacher grabbed her by the hair, lifted her off the ground, and shook her violently. Twitchell says these stories of courage still inspire him today. But when he set out to record them years ago, a linguist encouraged him to get elders to share them in Tlingit because it would better preserve the details of what they experienced. That's when he decided to tell the story of two boys who ran away from their boarding school in Tlingit.
Torture, abuse of all different kinds was going on in a lot of these places. And then to sort of have that from the perspective of two young people who are birth speakers of Tlingit and who are there as siblings and can communicate with each other and make a decision to get out of that, I think it has a lot of potential power.
The boys use their traditional knowledge to guide them home from Oregon, a story he's heard from several members of the same family, who has since passed, except for Florence Shakely. Shakely's father, Willie Marks, is the boy who ran away from school with his brother. Twitchell says the springboard for the screenplay will be a high-quality film of the elder telling her story in Tlingit. Twitchell will receive $18,000 for his work and share some of it with Shakely. He says it won't be easy to write the script entirely in Tlingit, but the words of Marge Dutson remind him of why it's so important.
And she said, "It's impossible for you to feel how much we suffered when people didn't want our language."
Twitchell hopes a screenplay in Tlingit can capture some of that feeling. He says subtitles can be used if the script is ever turned into a movie. In Juneau, I'm Rhonda McBride.
A Belgian woman is trying to set a record for being the youngest ever to fly solo around the world. The airport in Juneau will be her first stopover in the state. She's now expected to arrive on Sunday. KTOO's Matt Miller has the story.
19-year-old Zara Rutherford left Belgium in August. Right now, she is near the halfway mark in her journey through more than 50 countries. Yvette Soutier is the fixer for Rutherford's stopover in Juneau. Soutier remembers, as a child, becoming entranced, listening to air traffic control and cockpit radio communications while riding aboard an airliner. She dreamed of learning to fly.
When I was a little girl, I was told, one, you're female, two, you're too short, three, no one would ever hire you as a woman. And so I waited until I was in my 40s to get my pilot's license.
Soutier says it may be slightly different in Alaska, but the number of women pilots overall is still extremely low.
Women pilots make up 7% to 8% of all of the pilots in the United States. In the world, the number is approximately 4%.
Rutherford is going around the world solo to show other girls and young women they can fly too, and to inspire them to get into science, technology, engineering, and math fields. During a recent interview on CNN, Rutherford said flying 10 hours a day for 2 or 3 months straight would be tiring and pretty dangerous, so she'll limit her time in the air.
So I'll be flying up to 5 hours a day, and then every 3 days taking a break, just to make sure that, you know, I'm in the right mindset, I'm all excited, ready to go, not too tired, and that way I'll successfully go around the world.
Rutherford is flying a Shark Ultralight. It's designed for a long-range cross-country flight with a maximum cruising speed of over 180 miles per hour. Soutier says Ward Air is providing hangar space for Rutherford's stopover in Juneau. An airport employee will host her overnight, and an anonymous donor will pay for Rutherford's fuel for the next leg of her flight. As for Soutier, she got her pilot's license and flew solo just 4 years ago. And she says there's nothing like breaking gravity and truly moving in three dimensions.
I find that I really tap into my insignificance, which is almost a spiritual experience, because the whole world is so big and you are so small. When you're up in the air, you really get that feeling.
After Rutherford leaves Juneau, she'll head to Anchorage, Nome, and then on through the Russian Far East to Southern Asia and then Africa. Weather permitting, she's scheduled to complete her around-the-world journey in Belgium in November. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
A coalition of Southeast tribes and the region's largest Native corporation are creating an endowment designed to support Indigenous-led conservation and economic development. They're calling it the Seacoast Trust. Sea Alaska Corporation and the Nature Conservancy set aside $17 million in seed money to help support the Southeast Sustainable Partnership. That's a decade-old effort that runs projects in towns and villages across Southeast Alaska. And that partnership will run the programs funded by the new trust. Sea Alaska CEO Anthony Malott says some projects are already running, but the growth of the new fund could help them expand.
They're all ongoing. This just gives us the pathway to increase the number of projects, bring on more partners and more communities.
Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska President Richard Peterson says they've joined with other Southeast tribes to help lead the new effort.
Our people watched the Tongass grow, and that this forest has taken care of us for generations. And who better than us to lead efforts to care for our forests and our resources?
Fran Ulmer, a former Alaska Lieutenant Governor who works for the Nature Conservancy, says her conservation group is pleased to offer $7 million toward getting the Seacoast Trust off the ground.
It is an exciting opportunity to really make something happen that has durability and sustainability, and that recognizes how important it is that collaborative land and resource management, with Indigenous people leading the way, is what really makes sense in Alaska and in many other places in the world.
Oversight of the Seacoast Trust will be done by Spruce Root, a Juneau-based nonprofit that offers seed money and expertise for new businesses. As the spread of the Delta variant continues unabated in much of the U.S., public health leaders have approved healthcare rationing in Idaho and parts of Alaska and Montana. Several more states are veering dangerously close to reaching crisis standards of care, with less than 10% of intensive care unit beds available. The move to ration health care comes amid a spike in the number of unvaccinated COVID-19 patients requiring hospitalization. Crisis standards of care allow healthcare providers to give scarce resources, like ventilators, to patients most likely to survive. But determining who gets what is no easy feat. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland is moving the headquarters of the Bureau of Land Management back to the nation's capital after 2 years in Colorado. Haaland is reversing a decision made by former President Donald Trump's administration. The Bureau lost nearly 300 employees to retirement or resignation when its headquarters were relocated to Grand Junction, Colorado in 2019. The agency has broad influence in the West, managing public lands for uses ranging from fossil fuel extraction, renewable power development, and grazing, to recreation and wilderness. Haaland says the agency's current space in Grand Junction will become its western headquarters. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. If you're looking for more local and statewide news, visit us at ktoo.org. I'm Rasha McChesney.